WRKEY today.
Recovered from that big bad football game, the NFC showdown and the AFC a little bit earlier in the day. Kate Delaney hanging with you coast to coast and everywhere in between for a little old show called America Tonight. Did anybody nail the score? We had blowout phone lines. We'll tell you if anybody won the big prize. Did anybody guess the correct score? Minnesota Vikings and the Saints. Bin Laden claims credit for the would-be Christmas Day bombing in Detroit. More on that. The latest from Haiti, Avatar. 6 straight weeks of number one. They are banging it at the box office. And I went to go see the Little Blue People. I'll tell you my impressions of it. We'll get to that. But first, right at the top, boy, we've talked about this a lot. You know, when you talk about the whole CO2 thing and what could you possibly do with CO2, like, hello, light bulb moment. What about really recycling this stuff? You know, that's like my big thing. So who better to have on the show than somebody who is with a company who's doing that? Byron Elton, he's the CEO of Carbon Sciences, Inc. in my old stomping grounds in Santa Barbara. And it's all about CO2 recycling. I'm going to let him explain the process. Byron, thanks for hanging with us on ATN. Hey, Byron, are you with us? All right, we'll get to him in a second. He might have got caught up with the latte in the green room. You know, we do serve up some good stuff to our guests. So there's a chance he got lost in that, or perhaps he was watching the highlights on ESPN in the green room from the earlier game in the AFC, and, of course, the NFC game that I just talked about wrapped up a short while ago. I think certainly there are some people in Minnesota whose hearts are breaking, let's just say that, hint, hint. And then, of course, in New Orleans, some people who are incredibly happy with the results. Again, a turnover here, a turnover there, you just never know what can happen in NFL football, especially when it comes to the championship games. Oh, boy, there is no question about that. And that's exactly how that finished. I don't want to give away all the details, and I don't even want to reveal whether or not somebody nailed the score. We will certainly get to that here coming up in a little while. But we're going to see if we can catch back up to Byron Elton. If we can do that, we'll grab him. If not, we'll re-rack in a second here. So as I said, we're going to move along to something completely different. How about that? I think somehow, I don't know, let's bring Matt on. Hey, Matt?
Yes?
I think our booking agents got things confused, did they?
They may have.
You know what it could be? It could be that we were all aghast by what was going on with Team Conan, that we got our wires crossed on our guest. But I'm very pleased to welcome to the show Andrew Clavin. Instead, we will have Byron on in our next show. But Andrew Clavin is joining us now to talk about certainly what's happening with the Department of Homeland Security, you know, the whole security issue, because he's got a novel out called The Long Way Home, which looks into some of the issues that we've been talking about here on America Tonight. Like I mentioned at the top, that we were going to jump into Bin Laden claiming credit for the would-be Christmas Day bombing in Detroit. Hey, Andrew, thanks for jumping on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
It's a pleasure, Kate, and if I could recycle CO2, believe me, I would.
That was a brilliant comeback. I love that. Hey, let's talk about what's going on. First of all, I'm going to get your reaction to this. The latest thing about the claim of Bin Laden that, you know, it was his soldier basically through him where we almost saw the plane get blown apart in Detroit. I think now they're throwing things out there because they want to claim it. You know what I mean? I don't know that I really buy that.
You're probably right. I mean, all the evidence was that the guy was operated by Al-Qaeda in Yemen. I don't know how close bin Laden's connections to Yemen are, but Yemen is, you know, it is a, an Al-Qaeda offshoot. It's run by guys who were released from Guantanamo Bay. So it's just further evidence of our complete hapless incompetence in dealing with these people currently. And I don't know, you know, bin Laden is a guy who will take credit for stuff. And, you know, it's still pretty frightening to hear from him, to hear he's still out there. A lot of the security people were saying some of his wording indicated an oncoming attack. So it's still pretty spooky to have the guy pop up again. I don't know about the Christmas bombing. I mean, it's just, you know, that's kind of above my pay grade to know whether he's really connected to that. But he certainly is still out there, still working the shift, you know. And I think it's just, it should remind us how serious this is, how serious this threat is.
Yeah, no kidding. Boy, I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. I want to go, when we talk about Department of Homeland Security, first of all, do we have the right person in place, Janet Napolitano, running the ship?
Of course not. She's a complete bozo. You know, I think the problem is at the top. You know, Napolitano is completely out of her league, doesn't know what she's doing. But the problem is at the top, and the problem is pervasive in the administration. It is this problem of, you know, whatever you want to call it, political correctness or politeness. You can't fight a war on tiptoe. You can't fight a war trying to, you know, tiptoe around the enemy and not get them angry. You know, it's funny, you were kind enough to mention my novel, The Long Way Home, and one of the things I try to do in everything I write is call the enemy by its name, call it Islamofascism, call it jihadism, whatever you want to call it, and not be, you know, super nice about these people who are trying to wipe us out and destroy our way of life. If you listen to Barack Obama, he never uses the word Islamic extremism. He never talks about Islamofascism. He always says Al-Qaeda, as if that encompassed the threat, and it simply doesn't. You know, the threat is an idea, a philosophy, and the reason that matters is it means that national boundaries don't mean anything. So when you say, for instance, oh, the war in Iraq was unnecessary, but the war in Afghanistan is a good war, that's a nonsensical statement because you're fighting a philosophy. You're not fighting a nationality. When you call, as Obama did, the Christmas bomber an isolated extremist, that's a nonsense. You know, the guy's not an isolated extremist. He is inspired by and backed by an idea. Mm-hmm. And again, in his case, he's backed by Al-Qaeda. He's backed up by an organization. They released a security report. The Army released a security report on the Fort Hood shooter. It doesn't even mention the word Islamism or Muslim. You know, it doesn't even mention it. Now, George Orwell said you can't, you know, address a problem until you can describe it properly. That is the problem. You can pick on Janet Napolitano. She should go. She's no question. She's out of her league. But how is she supposed to operate when she can't even use the word terrorism, but has to call it, you know, man-caused disasters or whatever nonsense she was talking about? How are any of us supposed to fight this fight? If we're accused of, you know, racial profiling, if we treat, you know, Middle Eastern young men differently than we treat grandma at the airport, you know, we can't do this in a world of make-believe. We cannot live in a world of make-believe, and we cannot continue to fight in a world of lies. And that, I think, is the real problem with our Department of Homeland Security. It's part of an administration that thinks it can wish this threat away.
Boy, no kidding. Hey, Andrew, hang with us. We want to continue our conversation. Is that good with you?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Andrew Clavin, pleased to have him with us. And we're going to talk more about the Department of Homeland Security and where you can find some of his stuff on pajamasmedia.com. Hang with us, everybody, here on America Tonight.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well. Free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and A-Q-U-A Aqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Clavin, and you can catch his stuff. I love this. I love pajamasmedia.com. If you haven't been there, you need to go there and check it out. Lots of great commentary, lots of writing, lots of video. Really, really good stuff. And he's got a piece on the Department of Homeland Security, which you know is the thorn, major thorn in my side, if you've listened at all to America Tonight in the 3.5 years that I've been doing this. And we just talked about Janet Napolitano and a couple of other things related to the political correctness, I think, of what's happening with security in this country. Hey, Andrew, you know, that to me, that's it in a nutshell, and I think you addressed that. People are afraid to say, call what it is. I don't understand that. You know, it's like we've, I don't know, it's like somehow we've taken a step backwards. Because it seems to me, if we go back to the 70s, the 60s, people weren't afraid to express whatever it was. Now it's almost like you need a hand guide as to what's politically correct to say and not to say, and we can't make these people angry. And that's the problem to me with Department of Homeland Security. They're afraid of making people mad. Do you think?
Yeah, they're afraid of that, and they're afraid of being tagged with, you know, being called racist and all this. I mean, one of the things that happened, and it was a legitimate, you know, revolution of thought in this country, is we came to terms in the 60s with the fact that we had not lived up, as Martin Luther King said, to the meaning of our creed, especially in our treatment of black Americans. You know, we went through a revolution of thought where we kind of came face to face with that, and there was a reaction to it. And unfortunately, we went from an honest reaction to that issue which was necessary and important and really needed to be done, to a bunch of people who started to game the issue on the left, guys like Jesse Jackson, but all kinds of people, really, who started to play that issue so that if you disagreed with their bad policies, you were called racist. If you said, gee, welfare destroys families, which it did, you were called racist. If you, you know, pointed out that there were behaviors in black communities that were no good, you were called racist. Anything that would damage the left's bad arguments were deemed racist. It was just another way of saying, shut up, don't bother me with the facts, you know. And so people became afraid because it could end your career, it could make you look bad. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be a racist. No person of goodwill wants to be called a racist.
Sure.
And so now we've gotten to the point where we can't even name reality. If it happens to come, you know, with a different color, with somebody who's not white, with a different nation, we've got this idea that all cultures, you know, this idea of multiculturalism, one of the true bad ideas of the 20th and 21st century, that all cultures are of equal worth, all cultures are somehow have value. That's just not true. I mean, there's absolutely no reason to say that or to think it or to pretend it's true. You don't become virtuous by lying. You don't become virtuous because you say, this destructive, horrible culture that keeps people oppressed, that keeps people underfoot, that keeps people impoverished, is just as good as our culture, which generates wealth and allows people to rise and moves toward equality every time it can. You don't compare those two cultures and say that they're of the same value. That's trash thinking. And I think that we have got ourselves into this bind where we think there's some kind of virtue, some kind of moral virtue, in pretending that all cultures are the same and all ideas are the same, and labeling any disagreement with an idea as racist or somehow imperialist or whatever word is the word for shut up at the moment. And I think that that's the bind we're in, you know? I mean, if you're a cop in a district where most of the crime is committed by black people and you consider being black something suspicious because of that, that's not racial profiling, that's police work. That's part of the facts of the matter. It doesn't mean black people are bad. It means in your district, where you are, those are the people, that's what a criminal looks like. In this case, we have criminals who are Middle Eastern, young Middle Eastern men, people who have a certain belief system. It's not all Islamics. It's not every Muslim on earth. It's nothing like that. It's a form of Islam. It's a cancer in the body of Islam that it's just not going to be your grandmother from Wisconsin who blows up your plane. It's just not the way it's going to be. Israel, a country constantly under threat, uses racial and other kinds of profiling all the time, and they have a perfect security record.
Yeah, that's a good question to ask you about. I think there's a problem, first of all, if we just even take the TSA. Why can't we have people, and it's like you say, it's not really even, to even use the word racial, it's profiling. Profiling a certain kind of person that fits the bill, that looks nervous. I could take an incredible detective I know who retired from the police force of New York City, and I could put him in a TSA uniform, and I think he would have a better chance of stopping someone, no offense to the people who are doing it now, than the people that are in place that they're paying just a little bit more than minimum wage. So how serious are the airlines about security when that's what they do?
Well, it seems to me to be a question. I mean, the reaction to the Christmas bomber, which I made fun of on a PGA TV video. If you go on PGATV.com and look up Klavan on the Culture, you'll see this video. The reaction of the Department of Homeland Security and TSA to the Christmas bomber was instantly they put out a directive banning the use of blankets during the last hour of flight. What I have no idea what that was about or what that was supposed to protect us from or what it meant. When those a blogger published that directive online and people immediately started to make fun of it for being absurd and useless as it was, their reaction was to subpoena the two bloggers to find out where they got the information, which they backed off of only when they came under further ridicule. What on earth? I mean, what on earth? You know, our citizens are in danger. People are in danger in the air, and they're futzing around like subpoenaing bloggers and putting out nonsense directives. Those are obviously, CYA directives that are meant to protect them and sort of as if they think we're children who will feel safer the more difficult it is for us to get on a plane, you know. And I just don't think that searches make a big difference unless they're directed searches. I don't think that, running people through scanners makes a big difference without the profiling. I think profiling is, of course, the answer because we know who our enemy is. We know what our enemy generally looks like. You know, it's a limiting factor, and we have to use it.
Now, I absolutely agree with you 100%. So your novel, The Long Way Home, goes in this direction. It does explore some of the things that we were just talking about here. Tell me about the journey in putting this together.
Well, you know, what I wanted to do, this is the first time I've written, a lot of thrillers in my life, but this is the first time I've written a thriller series for young adults. It's called the Homelander series. It began with a book called The Last Thing I Remember, and now I'm continuing it with a book called The Long Way Home. And what I wanted to do is I wanted to change the rules a little bit of the people who appear in our art, in our entertainment. This is about a guy who believes in God, a kid who believes in God. He's a Christian kid. He believes in America. He's a pretty straight arrow guy. He's not the usual guy you see in movies for teens and books for teens. And he goes to bed one night in his own bed, and he wakes up tied to a chair being tortured by Islamo-fascist terrorists. And when he tries to escape and go to the police, he finds out the police want him for murder. And so what he has to do while being chased from every possible direction is figure out how this happened to him. How did he go to bed one night and wake up in an entirely different life? And in The Long Way Home, what he does is he goes home and he tries to clear his name, tries to solve the murder for which he's being hunted. And it's a big action story, but it's kind of a touching story because there he is so close to the people he loves, so close to the home he's desperate to get back to, and he can't really approach anybody because he doesn't want to put them in danger. So he sort of becomes a ghost in his own hometown. And the theme that I'm trying to work on, these are fast-moving thrillers, but the theme that I'm trying to work on is what happens when you take away this kid's values? Can he rebuild them again? Is there a reason to rebuild them? What are his first principles? Why was he a religious guy in the first place? Why did he believe in America? And so I just wanted to sort of, revisit some things, because I feel like we don't talk about first principles enough, like people who feel a special attachment to the United States of America sometimes just kind of pound their fists on their palm and say, by golly, I'm an American. And that's not what it's about to me. It's about an idea that we fought for, that we climbed out of the mud of human life to get here. We don't want to throw it away. We don't want to let people come and blow us up. And like I was talking before about multiculturalism, we don't want to just shrug and say, well, one culture is as good as another. It's simply not true. If that's true, why are people dying to get here?
I absolutely agree with you. Hey, last word on this. I got to tell you, big fan of Don't Say a Word in True Crime, by the way.
Oh, thanks very much.
It's just an incredible background. I think people don't realize that. And that's great, some of the stuff that you have segued into. And we appreciate you coming on the show. Everybody should go out and pick up some of Andrew's books for sure. And this last one sounds very interesting in this series. Thanks for coming on. Will you join us again down the road?
I'd be happy to, Kate. Thanks a lot. It's nice talking to you.
It's nice talking to you, too. Andrew Clavin. Remember that Don't Say a Word? They made it into a movie. Michael Douglas and Brittany Murphy was actually in that movie as well. And then also, as I said, True Crime was another one of Andrew's books that were adapted into motion pictures. So he has quite a resume, and it's, like I said, it's interesting into what he's segged into now, some really strong stuff. Stay with us. We're going to talk about Saving a Dog's Life next on America Tonight.
Americans have heard much about change in recent times and are now waking up to the truth. Well, here's a few facts about your food you may want to change. Did you know that nearly 100% of the food on store shelves comes from a few corporations and that most is genetically engineered, chemically sprayed, and transported great distances? Baker Creek Heirloom Seed Company, like you, wants to see Americans change and take control of their own food supply, one seed at a time. Over 12 years, we've become America's premier supplier of pure, non-GMO seeds with over 1,400 varieties. Gardeners and homesteaders know Baker Creek offers some of the most popular seed collection kits, like our large heirloom kit with 60 full-size seed packets for only $99. The kit contains 25 types of vegetables and comes packaged in a metal can for long-term storage for just $99. Look for our free catalog today at rareseeds.com. That's rareseeds.com or call 1-866-OLD. Seed. That's 1-866-653-7333 today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's obvious God loves us and has a sense of humor. Why? Because He created peppermint. Hi, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht for GetMint.com. We all know that mint is fun and delicious, but did you know it's also great for your health? Research shows mint can help soothe a headache or calm an upset stomach. It's antimicrobial and antiviral, so it's perfect for flu season, too. You can use it to chase bugs and mice out of your pantry without toxic chemicals. And kids love its great cool taste. GetMint.com offers quality peppermint and spearmint oils made right here in the USA by fourth-generation mint farmer Peppermint Jim. His pure, pungent mint oils are 100% natural, free from harmful chemicals, and very affordable. So improve your health and spice up your life with natural mint products from GetMint.com or call 1-800-345-9068. That's GetMint.com or 1-800-345-9068 and feel the minty freshness.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Tom from HempUSA.org, and I'm here to thank the listeners who have purchased our products over the last 3 years. We all know these products have made their lives healthier and safer. At HempUSA.org, we have constantly strived to bring new products to the forefront. Why use chemically laden products that can be absorbed into the skin and cause disease? Why have 10 products when you only need one? And why waste your money on products that don't work? If you ask yourself these questions and want to know more about new innovative products, please call HempUSA.org at 908-691-2608. From our non-food items to our storable and daily foods, it's quality that counts for the health and welfare of our customers. Again, I thank you all for sharing in our success and by joining as affiliates and being a part of the hemp revolution. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
And we've got those odds and ends. A lot of things happening over the weekend, including another aftershock in Haiti. But first, how many people can relate to this? First of all, raise your hand if you have a dog out there in America. Oh, we've got our special infrared glasses. I see lots of hands going up across the land. And certainly all of you know that I've got Mahalo, who turns one in a couple of weeks, Golden Retriever. Now that I have a dog, and I didn't grow up with dogs, but now that I have a dog and I've gotten to know people who have dogs, you find out some really sad stories. For example, especially in this economy, when something happens, the dog breaks his or her leg, the dog accidentally swallows something, the dog comes down with heartworms or some other disease, has to have some kind of a blood transfusion. I knew someone that had their dog had to have a blood transfusion. It cost them $3,000. And they were so attached to the dog, of course, they felt as though they have to pay the money or the dog has to be put down. So my pal, Rob Kowald, who is the IT director for America Tonight, if you go to AmericaTonight.net, he did such a great job on our website. He has a dog named Isabella who finds herself in a very precarious situation. And there's a website to save Isabella and other dogs in in the same position that she's in, you go to saveisabella.com. Saveisabella.com. Rob is waiting in the wings. Let's bring him on. Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey, Kate, thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate that.
Let's talk about Isabella first. How long have you had Isabella?
You know, she was born, oh gosh, in the 90s, so she's 10 years old now, just having her 10th birthday in September of 2009. So and right after that, of course, she broke her leg. That's how it all got started.
And how did she break her leg?
Well, you know, she's a beagle, and I guess we should start with kind of what happened, you know. But
yeah.
She's a beagle, and she's kind of active. She loves to chase squirrels, and the neighborhood kids like to kind of coax her to jump the fence because she jumps the fence, and they run down the alley screaming, mad dog, you know, that kind of stuff. And she's real friendly with the neighborhood kids. They just love her to death. You know, she was climbing the fence again, and stuck her leg through one of the holes, and I wasn't there exactly when it happened, but it just seems to me like that's probably what she did when she broke her leg. And it just, you know, she came back around the corner, and I looked at her, and it was just kind of hanging there, and it was really the saddest thing I've ever seen, you know.
No kidding. The leg wouldn't set, right?
Yeah, we went to the vet, you know, we went to the emergency vet that night, and, you know, they were talking about, man, you probably need to get this dog into surgery. So, well, we can't afford the surgery. You know, this was September, we were looking at Thanksgiving coming up, and then Christmas and all that, and I thought, man, well, we'll do it as lean as we can, you know, what can we do? But at the time, couldn't afford the surgery, so the doctor said, well, let's just, you know, it'll cost only a few $100 to set the leg. And, you know, we'll put her to sleep a little bit, you know, where she's just kind of in that twilight zone, you know. And then they set the leg, put the bandages on and everything. And then, you know, we thought maybe it'll heal. And we were trying to be optimistic about it. But the truth is that after 6 or 8 weeks, we did some x-rays and it's just not healing correctly. So left with what do we do next? We thought, well, what do we know? We know how to do this web stuff. Let's make a website, Save Isabella, and see if we can't raise some PayPal donation money to save her. And I've got about half the money raised so far without the website. So, mm-hmm. you know, we just need about half of the $2,400, and I think we can save Isabella. Mm-hmm. And if we do, you know, there's the chance that, you know, if we go on your show and people hear about her plight, well, if it gets crazy, and let's say we raise thousands and thousands of dollars, which would be great, none of the money is going to me. I'm not keeping any of it. We would then turn around and work with the Humane Animal Rescue Team here in the Texas area, in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and work with them to find other cases just like this and help them get surgery for their animal the same way that Isabella's being helped here. And I think that other people can relate to it, you know, because I didn't, you know, when I was a kid growing up, my parents worried about all this stuff. Now, you know, I'm an adult. I have to worry about it on my own.
Right. It's what people what's happened with dogs. I talked about this before you came on. I know a lot of people that have been in this similar situation where they love their dog, take care of their dog, but you know, it's a freak accident. It can happen just like if you have a child and you can't afford. You know, there isn't insurance. You don't have insurance there. And how do you come up with that money when you're living paycheck to paycheck? You've got to figure out creative ways, or you've got to try to do something to help the dog, like you said. And so I think it's, again, a terrific idea, the saveisabella.com. So people listening, if you can help, go to saveisabella.com. But check it out. He's also got links to the Humane Society and all this other stuff that is absolutely fascinating when you read it. And I think, Rob, people can relate to that because I've heard more stories than I can count on both of my hands, sad stories for different reasons where people couldn't afford whatever the amount of the surgery was, and that's where you're at.
That is exactly where we're at. And, of course, all the time that she's been bandaged up in this splint, we've been changing bandages, monitoring the leg, keeping her on antibiotics, and all that stuff's kind of expensive too, which hasn't allowed us over the past 4 or 5 months here to get ahead very much. But like I say, you know, having I've got some musical equipment I've been selling and some things I've been trading around. And, you know, earlier today when we put the website up, you know, some Facebook friends got a hold of it. And before we even went on your show, we raised $76 just today, you know.
Wow, that's
so
great.
So we're very optimistic that we can make this thing work. And we just put the website up this morning, having worked on it, you know, for the last 4 or 5 days here, just day and night, trying to get it up and running. But, you know, we did it trying to target the February the 15th as the date for the surgery, you know,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, the more we wait, the more bone mass she loses in that old arm. And I don't mean to come across like there's a huge sense of urgency, but, you know, there really, really is, you know.
Right, right.
It's one of those situations, you know.
Right, to save the dog, absolutely. Like I said, I think people can relate. So everybody check out saveisabella.com if you can help. That would be tremendous. Rob, thanks, and we'll check in with you again to find out how Isabella's doing soon.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys posted. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. And absolutely, I mentioned this already, now that I, too, am a dog owner, I can completely relate to it. This is just one of the many things that has happened to people in this economy, that the things that you could afford before, you can't. And what has happened to some people, and you can tell, obviously, Rob doesn't want to do that. Sadly, people just abandon their dogs or have them put down. Can you imagine? You know, I can't. Oof, not at all. So check out saveisabella.com. And go check out the pictures of Isabella. Cute, 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 cute dog. All right, as we get deeper here into America tonight, we'll hit it hard and fast on some of the things that odds and ends, like I said, that are making news across the United States and elsewhere. But this is a huge story that broke. And I don't know if any of you happened to catch it over the weekend, but Osama bin Laden saying his latest audio message attributed to him anyway is seen as what they're saying as a possible indicator of an upcoming attack by his Al-Qaeda network. And the Intel Center, which is a U.S. group that monitors Islamist websites, also said that the latest release and all the garbly good crap of the message showed it was credible, that it was a new release from the man who brought down America on 9/11, or tried to anyway. And this audio message that was released on the 24th has specific language used by bin Laden in his statements in advance of attacks. And they think it's an indicator of some possible things that are coming up. And even I'll give you an example of one thing that was released. Peace be upon those who follow guidance. This was one of the phrases used. It's at the beginning and the end of the messages, right? And it's designed to warn Al-Qaeda's enemies, they say, that they need to change their ways or they will be attacked. In the statement carried by Al Jazeera Television, bin Laden praised Abdullah Mattala. He's the young Nigerian man who tried to blow up a U.S. airliner that was coming into Detroit on Christmas Day. And he warned that the United States, that God willing, our attacks against you will continue as long as you maintain your support to Israel. That was specifically said in this latest round of audio tapes. And the center says the language was made in March of 2008. You know, the similar language was made then, and it was condemning the cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad, which was right, remember, which was followed by the attack on the Danish embassy in Islamabad a couple of months later in 2008. So they're extremely worried and feel as though this is a huge indicator that something else could possibly happen, just engaging the language, looking for little clues or hints as to some possibilities. And of course, we all know this. I mean, he's slippery as a snake. A $50 million bounty on his head, and he's been hiding for 8 years. I mean, is he really holed up in the mountains between Pakistan and Afghanistan, or is he being protected somewhere else, in Saudi Arabia or some other Middle Eastern country. One has to think that. Stay with us.
Why is drinking pure high alkaline pH water the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Because alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using AlkaVision pH Drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to an alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Beyond compare, with flaming locks of auburn hair, with ivory skin and eyes of emerald green.
All right, let's jump to a couple of other things that are going on besides the Bin Laden tape. Boy, you know, I hate that. I'm so sick of hearing about Bin Laden releasing another audio tape threatening the United States that they better not be buddy-buddy with Israel, and they better change their ways, or watch out, we're going to attack. Okay, so Haiti, on the minds of so many people, you know, they had that big fundraiser that was on all the major networks on Friday, the two-hour deal, the Hope for Haiti, and they've raised well over $58 million. It's kind of a who's who in the music industry, very low-key, pretty subtle. I caught bits and pieces of it. I have to say it was well done. So the latest from Haiti is that you've got 150,000 quake victims that have been buried by the government. There are still bodies underneath the debris, that, and then there are those carried off by relatives or killed in the outlying quake zone. Nobody really knows how many bodies are buried in the rubble. I mean, estimates are as high as 300,000. Who knows the overall death toll? They have no idea. They got to deal with the living as well. So you've got all these aid workers from all over the place trying to get more food into people's hands as quickly as possible, but they're falling far short of the mark. They just can't get to them quickly enough. We keep giving you the same storyline, and it really is what it is. You had another aftershock. They've had like 50 since the 7.0. Wow, 50 aftershocks. That's crazy, huh? And remember, it was just January 12th when the first one hit. And now this one was, I think, 4.7. So they're not saying there was any more damage, but certainly to the nerves of the people there and the children, too. You got about 500,000 plus homeless that are still huddled in Port-au-Prince, where they're looking for shelter, relatives, whatever. And some of them have left. They think maybe 200,000 or so have left, which is the good news. And the international folks are searching for sites to put up these tent cities for the refugees, rather, on the outskirts somewhere, because they've got to get them away from the city, frankly, so that they can find the dead people, so that they can try to rebuild, so they can get things going there. The Port-au-Prince warehouse has 10,000 family-sized tents, but some 100,000 are needed. So they need $30 million for that alone, and they've gotten about two-thirds so far. What an incredible nightmare this has been on everybody, but obviously the sad faces coming out of Haiti and what the death toll is and extracting people that, I mean, I guess the silver lining is finding the people that are alive. And every day they found somebody somehow. They found somebody that they picked over the weekend. They found another man that they were able to extract from the rubble. And when he was, I mean, he was, you know, obviously dehydrated, a shell of what he was. And he said the first thing he wanted to do was go to a church to give thanks. He was buried 11 days, and he was buried in the ruins of a hotel grocery store. And he was just reciting psalms, he said, and sleeping. And you know, this is the power of belief. He said he wasn't afraid because he thought they were searching and that they would come for him. But, you know, it's really unlikely at this point. He was lucky to be plucked, because pretty much the government has said, okay, now we're moving into a different phase of this. We're ending the search operations, and we're shifting to getting the people to survive in this squalor, in these makeshift camps that they have going on, and the need is incredible with the whole food and everything else. Already, this was a impoverished, rough place to be in Haiti. You know, I'm not even doing it justice in my description of it. Now you add what happened with the quake. So, you know, it's ready-to-eat meals, bottled water, anything that they can get to these people. And, yes, there's money that has been pledged, which is terrific, but you still have to get it down to the level where you're actually dispersing it. And so that continues to be part of the big holdup, I think, for the people in Haiti. We go from that, excuse me, to something completely different. I don't know if you remember this story. I think I talked about it briefly. We go from the beginning of the show, where we were talking about the Christmas Day possibility of Abdullah Mutallah blowing up that airplane that was headed for Detroit, to the Denver deal, where the man accused of trying to open an airplane's exterior door while it was in flight, he was released. They investigated and they determined it wasn't a terrorism matter. Really? I just thought I'd scare the crap out of all these people. So anyway, it happened Saturday on a United Airlines jet that was going from Washington to Vegas. The plane had just about 100 people on board, so they diverted it to Denver. And the FBI said that he tried opening one of the front doors and then may have tried to open the cockpit door before passengers had to restrain him. They took him into custody. They questioned him, released him for a medical evaluation, and then they're going to decide on charges after they review the whole thing. Can you imagine? If, like, you don't have enough to deal with. You're just minding your own business. You know, you're just trying to go. You just want to have a little gambling action, a little relaxation. You're coming from from the swamp, Foggy Bottom. That's what they call D.C. in the summertime. It's brutal there. So it's not summer now, but it's Foggy Bottom always because everybody's walking around in a fog as far as the politicians are concerned. So they're going from D.C. to Vegas, and then this nut gets up and he tries to do this. So they're still looking into what could have possibly made him do this. Passengers said that after the plane landed, he said he was from California and he was on the wrong plane. I'm on the wrong plane, so I'm going to open this door and I'm just going to get out. I hope nobody gets hurt. I'm just going to try to get to my right plane. Great. No problem. What, do you think he had wings and he was going to fly to the correct plane? Please, give me a break. Whatever they nail him with, they need to nail him with something. All right, this story out of Houston could end up costing you some money at the pump. Don't know if you heard about this or not. There's a waterway that supplies oil to four huge Texas refineries, and it represents almost 7% of U.S. capacity. And if you think about it, 7%, that's still a pretty chunk, pretty decent chunk. They shut it down, and the reason they shut it down is because they're cleaning up an oil spill in a ship collision that happened over the weekend. It's still shut down now. I checked before we jumped on the air. The Coast Guard is saying that the shipping lane is going to be shut until it's all cleaned up. So this is what happens. You get a pileup. You had 13 ships on Sunday that wanted to get out of the waterway and 13 that were waiting to come in. And the Coast Guard saying, listen, get off our backs. We're working as fast as we can to clean up this spill. So if you've got a spill of almost 500,000 gallons of crude, or about 11,000 barrels, that's the biggest spill they've had since 1991. And it has to be cleaned up properly. They cannot let ships in or out. You know, those four refineries have a refining capacity of 1.15 million barrels. So now you start to add this up. How long is it going to be closed? And that's where the cha-ching factor takes place for everybody, especially in the Southwest, but wherever the oil was headed to, because it'll be passed on to the consumer. And what's happened is with these refineries, like this Beaumont refinery, it's the sixth largest one we have in our country. So imagine the rippling effects. The collision happened, yet it had one barge that was going south, another tanker that was going north. It happened near this Valero refinery, and that's the furthest south of the four spots that I mentioned. And the barge was one of two being moved by a tugboat in the Port Arthur area when that collision happened. So, of course, we're still looking for more of the details on it. But in the meantime, the big concern is cleaning up that spill. The spill that will be passed on to you and I. Remember, everyone, we still live in the greatest country on the face of the earth. No matter what, keep getting back on that horse, going around the carousel, reach out and grab the brass ring.
I'm not back in 5 minutes. Just wait longer.